Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Bizarre Conspiracies. My name is Eric Patino.
And I'm Conrad Toll.
Today we're going to be talking about Greek gods and goddesses and a little bit of the mythology as well. And I thought it would be a fun topic to cover since me and Conrad have been talking about doing this for a while and just never have, but here we are doing it.
Yeah, so it's quite, when you think of mythology, especially in the West, like we are, generally when you think of like pagans and all of that, you don't think of Thor and you don't think of Eastern gods or anything like that. What you think of is the Greek Olympians.
Right, right.
So Zeus would be one of them, obviously.
Yeah, I think a good portion of that has to come from the fact that they were the main gods of the Roman Empire, and you know the Roman Empire, I mean, is the descendant, and not the descendant, but the ancestor of modern Europe, and then the Western Anglo-Saxon today. We can all trace our roots back to our Latin roots, which have Greek gods tied in there. So why is it, you think, that these Greek gods were the ones that were picked by the Romans?
I don't know, because they were really cool. but it's interesting because we have this, we have tiers of gods, right, throughout history. And the Olympians, they weren't the first gods.
No.
Actually, from what my research has shown, the first gods were something called the primordial. Have you ever heard of these gods before, Conrad?
No, not unless that's another name for Titans.
No, these were before the Titans even. Oh. So let me go ahead and tell you about these. I guess it's a good place to start. So in the history of Greek gods, there's a group of gods that came before all the other ones, before the Olympians, before the Titans. These primordial gods are the most conceptual in nature because the first gods to appear in Greek mythology is Chaos, who represents the void. He was shortly thereafter was joined by Gaia, who is represented as Earth, right? So it's what we know. Okay. Gaia to be Earth. Uh-huh. And Chaos would give birth to two children, Nai, which is represents night, and Erebus. It's so hard to say that one. Represents darkness. Now, they, in turn, would give birth to Aether, which is light, and Himera, which is day. And then Gaia would soon give birth to her own primordial children, which is Uranus, is sky, and Pontus, which is sea. Now.
And those were the Titans, sky and sea.
Were they the Titans? I don't think. Let me see.
They may have been. So when I found the what I know about Titans is there's it's first generation and second generation Titans, and then there's the Olympians after the second generation of Titans. And so I think that maybe some of the what I know as first generation Titans may be on the latter end of what you would call these primordials.
Mm. Well, they're kind of all related because you'll just see in a minute. let's see. While these are the first gods of mythology are generally agreed upon, there are others that tend to be lumped in with the primordial gods. The most important of these is probably Tartarus. Am I saying that right?
Oh.
Tartarus.
Yeah, that's a primordial?
It's a primordial. It says Tartarus, who is both a primordial god and who would later become known as a prison for monsters.
Yeah, pretty much a bottomless pit.
Mm-hmm. There are, though, a number of other primordial conceptions that are usually added to this list. A few of them include Aeon, which represents eternity, Moria, which is fate, and I think I'm going to butcher this name, Kronos.
Maybe not. That one's right.
Kronos for time. So these are the first gods that eventually the Titans battle to replace them. But here's the thing. The primordial gods were never defeated fully. So we all know about the great war between the Titans and the Olympians, right?
Well, I think that some of us don't know about them, but I would say that I know about them.
So there was a war between the Titans and the Olympians, right?
Yeah.
And just to name a few of these Titan gods, there were six elder gods. There was Kronos. There was, I hate Greek gods. I hate the names. Kios. There was Krios. I swear to God. and Hyperion. So these were the elder gods of Titans. And let me see. I believe Cronus was the father of Zeus, right?
Yes. So Cronus is generally considered like the leader of the leader of the Titans that the Olympians fought. So he was like the prime evil guy. He was like the leader evil man. Mm-hmm. I don't know, top bad guy.
Right.
And he had five kids, which are Zeus, Hera,
Athena,
Poseidon. Not the five that I'm thinking of. She is one of them, but no. Athena is the child of Zeus.
Oh, okay. So I think it's Zeus, Ares, right?
No, Ares is, I think, the son also of Zeus.
Really?
But Cronos had the five, I don't know, important gods.
Oh, no, you're right.
Like the big three, which you have Poseidon, which is a god of sea, right. Zeus, which is the sky god, and then Hades, which is the god of the underworld. Mm-hmm. And then he had two more, which were Hera and I think is Demeter. She's not as important.
gotcha.
Yeah, those five were his, with Cronos's most important children.
I see.
This graph that I'm looking at here says that Hestia is also one of them, but I don't know. She wasn't too awfully important in my book either. But
well, the list that I have kind of mixes all the children of Cronos and Zeus, so that's why I'm just throwing out names.
Okay, yeah, Zeus has Eris, Arius, Hephaestus, Phoebe. It's with an H, but it's pronounced Phoebe.
Uh huh.
Let's see. I think Apollo and was Apollo his? Yeah, Apollo is his kid. Pretty sure. Apollo and his sister. Yeah, that's right. Because like Zeus had all the kids, and he had
he had the most kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had multiple wives.
Yes.
So yeah, he had.
It was the original Genghis Khan.
Apollo, Artemis, Dianus, Eris, Hephaestus, Phoebes. And a few others that I don't recognize. Yeah, he had tons of kids, and all of them had different mothers except Apollo and Artemis. They're the only ones who had. No, wait, I take that back. Hera had. He had. See, he married Hera, his sister, and uh-huh. They had lots of kids together. The
disgusting.
Most famous, the two most famous of them being the god of war and the god of forgery. Those are the only two that are, like, really show up a lot, because. You know, they're the ones that actually do things in Greek mythology. The rest of his kids don't do anything.
They're just like, hey, dad, kids, hey, dad, look at this thing I drew. Hey, dad.
So the other children that he had.
Well, isn't Athena? There stories of Zeus, like, changing his physical appearance upon women and, like, impregnating them?
Yes. Zeus did everything to get kids.
It's like, hey, so I got candy in the back of my truck.
When it comes to Zeus, he has multiple different stories that involve him, you know, where he's like the main character. One of them is unlike the rest, And that's the one where he defeats Kronos and becomes the leader of the Olympians. And all the others are just like each other, where he seduces a woman and has a kid.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That is, that's Zeus. He's, from my opinion, appears to be very stupid. However, I don't think he's so much stupid as he's extremely short-sighted. He's like, okay, I have a goal, and then he's able to complete the goal very well. Like, he wants to defeat the Titan Kronos.
Right.
Easy. He can do it. He focuses his mind on it, and he gets the job done. He's like, I want to seduce that woman. And he focuses his mind, and he gets the job done. He can do it, whatever he wants to do. He just has a very, very narrow, short-sighted planning. He never, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this, and then this, and then this. No, his goals are like, I am going to do one thing at a time.
And it was usually a woman.
Yeah, generally whatever he wanted to do in the moment.
Well, you know, with the titles that comes with these Greek gods, you know, because a lot of them are associated, oh, this is the Greek god of thievery and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
I'm amazed that Zeus isn't, like, with, like, a subtitled tag with, like, Zeus, the god of women, the god of getting laid, the god of condoms.
Like, well, no, he is most certainly not the god of condoms.
Well, yeah, absolutely not.
Because he didn't mind having kids. Because he paid them all, whether or not, because he never paid child support.
Well, the kids that he feared, he ate, so.
Okay, yeah, because there was one time that there was a woman, I believe it was Metis is the name. I don't remember if she's a god or not, but it was prophesied to Zeus that it would be her children that would overthrow him.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did is he ate her. But he still, and then after he ate her, a few years went by or something like that. And then he had a terrible headache. And then he got his son Hephaestus to split his skull open to figure out why he had such a bad headache. And then Athena popped out of his head.
Uh-huh.
So
I don't remember if Zeus ever got overthrown, to be honest with you.
No, he never got overthrown. But there's a prophecy that he would be overthrown.
So, is he still technically the god?
Yeah, in Greek mythology, he's number one.
Never been thrown out, overthrown.
No, but there was a few times his wife, Hera, tried to overthrow him once.
As women do.
Let's see. So it's quite interesting. Not quite interesting. It's quite alarming.
No, it is interesting though. It is interesting though.
in like the train, two trains colliding, like you see them going down the track at each other and you know they can't stop, and you're like, ooh, this is fascinating and terrible and totally a train wreck.
Yeah, if they could have done a whole Jerry Springer segment with just the Olympians, just Zeus. You probably don't know that reference.
I don't.
It's this guy with a TV show, and basically it's a bunch of drama. He brings out these guests that have relations with several women, and then they do a DNA test, and like, you are the father! Yeah, some people will get it, I'm sure. But just a little bit about the Titan-Olympian War. So this war took place let's see if I can say this right. Thessaly? God, I don't know if I'm saying.
Who are we talking about?
The Titan War. Just where it took place.
About Titan?
Yeah.
Is it Thea?
It's Thessaly. Thessaly? Thessaly? Something like that. But it was also called the War of the Titans, the Battle of the Titans.
Yeah, it's probably easier just to go by that.
Yeah. So this war, these wars were between the Titans and the older gods and the Olympians, the newer generation of gods. Titans ruled Mount Othiris? Othiris?
And then the Olympians ruled...
Right, Mount Olympus. Right. This is the easy one. The Titans and the Olympians fought to decide who would rule the universe. And in the end, the Olympians were the ones led by Zeus who won, who overthrew his father, Cronus. But that same battle, right? Cronus first had to overthrow his father, which was Uranus. I have the mind of a 12-year-old, okay?
Yeah. No, no, no. And so was... And that...
I suppose you say Uranus. Uranus.
Which one of them that was it that got chopped up into teeny tiny little pieces and then spread over the place, and so that way he couldn't reform?
Poseidon?
No, 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 no. It was either Uranus or it was Kronos.
I'm not sure. Let me see.
It might have been both of them.
The plan worked, and when Uranus was castrated, his blood fell to the earth and into the sea. From this blood, several sets of children were born. It could have been Uranus.
I think it might have been Kronos, because like Kronos was then later tossed into the pit, right?
I'm not sure about that either, honestly. I didn't really focus too much on the Titan War and the outcome of it, other than, you know, Zeus and the Olympians winning. Let's see here. Aphrodite was born from the Uranus blood that fell into the sea. Interesting. Okay. Cronus, with his mother's help, managed to overthrow his father, Uranus. But Uranus made a prediction that Cronus would be overthrown by his sons. Because Cronus was afraid of losing the kingdom, he made the same mistakes his father did and turned into the terrible, angry king and did lots of horrible things to stay in power. He put his brothers back into prison and ate his children just to keep them from overthrowing him.
Yeah.
But his wife managed to fool Cronus and keep one of his children safe. This child was named Zeus.
Yeah.
And on the island, Zeus was raised by a goat. Okay.
A goat?
It says Zeus was raised by a goat on an island.
That explains a lot of things because I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I raised goats at one time.
I don't remember that, but yeah.
And I can tell you that Zeus acts a lot like a billy goat, because goats, male goats anyways, Zeus is, yeah. Anyway, they're extremely, extremely focused on trying to impregnate as many female goats as possible.
I see.
That
would explain a lot.
That is a characteristic well known about goats. In fact, there's a lot of Greek words like bromenos, which specifically refer to male goats. Bromenos is the smell of a he-goat in mating season.
I see.
And as a person who raised goats,
sure.
I can tell you, the he-goat does stink a lot while he is in rut.
Interesting.
So yeah, yeah, so that explains a lot about Zeus.
Well, it goes on and it says, once Zeus grows up, he went to his father's mountain and served him as a cupbearer. His father did not know that Zeus was his son. A Titan goddess named Metis. Have you ever heard of this one? Metis? Helped Zeus fool his father into drinking a mixture of mustard in his wine, thus causing Cronus to feel sick and throwing up all the children that he ate one by one. Once Cronus had expelled all of Zeus's brothers and sisters, he talked them into rebelling against Cronus and overthrowing him. This is what started the Titan War.
Uh-huh.
Zeus and his brothers and his sisters rebelled against his father, Cronus. Zeus set the Cyclops and the... How do you say that? Hecatotrees?
What are they?
I don't know.
Cyclops is a monster with one eye.
Right. Hold on. I'm going to copy. I'm going to copy this and send it to you on Discord. I've never heard of this. There you go. Have you ever heard of this?
Hectotrires.
I know. Doing a better job than me. So they were, in Greek mythology, three giants of incredible strength that surpassed all of the Titans who had whom they helped overthrow. Interesting. So I'm learning more as we go along.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of them, but I never heard of them by that name. I'm more familiar with the name the 100 Handers.
I haven't heard that either. But there you go.
Hecto is the I think it's Latin actually, not Greek, but it's where the word 100 comes from.
Okay. Interesting. Well, he set them free along with the Cyclops.
Yeah.
From their underground prison and convinced them to join the rebellion as well. They used rocks as weapons, and the Cyclops made Zeus's thunderbolts. Interesting. Together, they also made Poseidon's trident and Hades' helm of darkness. The only Titans to fight with Zeus, the older generation, were Prometheus. I don't know why I got stuck on that name, but Prometheus and Themis? Themis. I hate these Greek names.
Yeah, the funny thing is that they don't, they're not pronounced how they are read. They have special. Well,
Prometheus is kind of how it's.
Yeah, but that, okay, anyway.
That might be the exception. But this war lasted for 10 years. Mm-hmm. 10 years. Can you believe that? There's a hell of a lot more to this story, but that's generally the Titan Olympus War. And funny enough, when I was reading about this, I'm like, yeah, Zeus hated everything that his father did, but ended up doing the same thing when he was ruler.
Zeus did?
Zeus,
or
yeah.
Kronos did?
No, Zeus.
Well, Zeus did, and also Kronos hated everything that his father did.
Uranus?
Yeah, I think it's Uranus, actually. I really think
that yeah, yeah, I'm saying Uranus just so I don't laugh every time.
Yeah, I think that Uranus was the fellow who got chopped into teeny tiny pieces and then scattered over the face of the earth, and that way he couldn't reform, but is still alive. And then from, I'm pretty sure that that's the fellow who got chopped up. And then Kronos was the guy who got banished to Tartarus.
Tartarus? Interesting.
I think it's Tartarus.
You would know better than me. But
I thought what happened was that one of them reformed after they chopped him up, and then they chucked him into a Tartarus, but I wouldn't check that. Nope. I don't know where that story came from, but no, that's not the case. after they chopped up Uranus, he never came back. He stayed dissipated.
As you do. So I found it really interesting because I'm sure, like most people, right, when you think of Greek gods, you only think of Zeus and the famous ones that have statues, etc., and all,
yeah,
and a bunch of folklore behind it.
The 12 Olympians.
Right, right, and yeah, you might remember the Titans because it's such a big part in Zeus's story, but you don't really hear the gods that came before all of that, right? You don't really hear about the creation gods, which I really found interesting. And there's more. And there's more. So remember you...
Uh-huh. I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory. And I'm not going to tell you the whole theory because it'll take a while.
Sure.
But I'm just a teaser. I have a theory on why that is. You never hear about those ones. Anyway, go on.
Well, so we hear that a lot about Zeus being, the kind of the ruler of the universe, as the story suggests, right? Like he rules the universe. The heavens and the earth.
Rules the sky.
Okay,
his brother rules the sea, and the other brother rules the underworld.
Yeah, yeah, but he's over them. He's higher than they are.
Well, I mean, it depends. If you ask his brothers, they say no. But yeah,
Zeus is the leader. He is the top dog god, and I never thought he had a fear or a weakness, but he does. Do you know what that is, Conrad?
Mustard?
No, it's one of the primordial gods.
It's
Nye. He is afraid of Nye, which is the goddess of night.
Interesting.
So it says here, so let me tell you a little bit about Nye first. Nye is the Greek goddess of the night, the daughter of chaos. She was told to be very beautiful. Her birthplace was not on Earth, but in Gaia. So, like, the core of Earth, I'm assuming, because Gaia is Earth.
Yeah.
But she's a primordial god, one of the first ones. It is said that she was created near the beginning of time, so she's really old. One of the oldest.
Well, I mean, all she'd have to do is be born before Kronos, and then, yeah, she'd be before time.
Right. Well, created near the beginning of time. And her home is in the depths of Hades' underworld. So she has this shadowy figure, which makes her the perfect personification of night, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of crowned of or I should say for the Dark Mist. So she has this like really menacing background, I would say, because she's one of the first, she's old and she's complete darkness, right? And you wouldn't think, and you would think because, oh, okay, well, she's one of the older gods that were overthrown. No, she was never overthrown herself.
Yeah, the Primordials were different than the Titans, it seems. Only the Titans were overthrown.
Overthrown, right. And she's a very unique goddess to that. But because of this, this is not a goddess to mess with. Zeus feared Nai because she was older and she was stronger than he was. And he knew it, too. She is the only goddess he's ever feared. And that speaks volume to her power that she has. It's kind of insane. And there's even a story that goes along with it. So, let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. So it has to do with one of Nai's children. It's another version of darkness, but not as powerful as Nai, right? But he was hired by Zeus's wife to put Zeus in like this hypnotic sleep. She was trying to plot against him, basically. And she kind of hired Nai's son here, which is Hypnos? 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 Something like that. It's the name of Nai's son. But she enlisted the help of Hypnos to put Zeus to sleep to overthrow him, but it didn't work. Zeus was just a little more powerful than that. But when Zeus woke up, Hypnos retreated back to where Nai lives in one of the darkness caves. And so when Zeus was following him, when Zeus was chasing him, and he got back to the mom's cave where Nai resides, he immediately stopped and gave up the search for Hypnos because he didn't want to confront Nai. That is how powerful she is.
And I suppose that she doesn't have any interest in taking his throne. So that's the reason that she hasn't come after him, is because she just doesn't want to.
She has no interest in becoming a ruler because she's already kind of a ruler in her own way. She's like, she is darkness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because then you go on and you read stories like Prometheus and how Prometheus gave the gift of fire to man, but then was immediately, what's the word I'm looking for? Punished for stealing fire from Zeus and the other Olympian gods, and was then therefore kind of sentenced in his punishment. I believe he was sent to the top of one of the mountains on Earth to forever be...
Hold up the sky.
Right, well... Let me see if I can find it. It's actually a little bit different, the one that I read.
Now that's Atlas I'm thinking of, who has to hold this guy on his back.
It is telling of the extreme antiquity of the story that Prometheus transported the fire to human beings directly and handed it to him as if it were a physical object. This is because the story comes from a time before human beings had the ability to make fire on their own. They had to capture it from natural sources, like volcanoes or forest fires, and you can probably imagine how difficult and dangerous that was. Then they had to carry it and maintain that fire as they moved it away from the source around the countryside. This has brought great difficulty and danger. If the fire was allowed to go out, then the tribe was doomed. Hold on, let me see. Then, unfortunately, fate was not so kind to Prometheus. Zeus and the other gods discovered that he had broken their taboo and had given the fire to the tiny people that crawled on the surface of Earth without, and their rage knew no bounds. They decided to punish Prometheus not just once, but forever and ever. Although they could not take the secret fire back from mankind, they could make sure that Prometheus suffered eternally for what they had done. So they found a rock by the sea and they chained Prometheus to it. Every day from then on, it is believed in mythology, an eagle would land on the helpless spine of Prometheus. This eagle would then dig into his living flesh with its sharp beak, and it would tear out his liver. And this would happen every night. Every night, Prometheus would return to life, and his liver would grow back. But every day, the eagle would descend upon him again, and so on and so forth. And if this myth is to be believed, then it is still going on to this very day. That's a crazy punishment.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I did not have this in my theory beforehand, but it kind of fits into it in this weird twisted way.
Oh yeah?
So my theory, in short, is a lot of this is metaphor for something else. Not metaphor, but a kind of metaphoric. So you know back when we did the episode on aliens, different types of aliens?
Yes.
There was, anyway, the kind of based off of that one, I was thinking, what if these deities, Mount Olympus is a spaceship, okay? And the Titans are the, because, you know, to people who are on Earth, these people with sufficiently advanced technology seem like gods. And when they're telling the story about the Titans being the Titans being overthrown, it's a mutiny on the spaceship, and the new gods taking over and killing the Titans. But instead of saying that they killed the Titans, they want to appear immortal, so they tell them that the Titans are immortal and they're immortal. So instead they just locked the Titans away forever. But then when I was hearing this story, I'm thinking, wait a minute, because aliens are well known for doing genetic engineering and all that sort of stuff. What if what's going on is they're taking like bits and pieces of them, putting them in labs and growing extra, using body parts, and they turned Prometheus into some sort of a science lab experiment. And they're like, yeah, so pretty much the way that you people would understand this is like we chained him to a rock and eagle comes and tears out its liver every day. That's like the best way that they could describe like something insane happening in a lab in a way that people on the ground could understand, you know?
Mm-hmm. It could be.
And then maybe that's what happened to the Titans, is the Titans were like the former, because there's more gods than just the Olympians. There's tons, hundreds of gods in Greek mythology. However, there's only a few powerful ones.
Right. And there's a hell of a lot of demigods.
And so what would happen if you got these demigods, and not demigods, but and out of the demigods, there's this group that rises up and conquers the and has like a mutiny, overthrows the other group, you know, maybe puts them in the labs, also known as TARDIS, and they usurp them as leader. And then like they're trying to explain this to their slaves on this planet that they're overlording over. They're like, okay, so here's the thing. We are the new rulers now. The old rulers, we kind of beat them. But then there's another thing about Greek mythology that never made sense to me. For instance, like take Uranus. He got chopped up into teeny little pieces and his blood flowed into the ocean and tons of kids came from that, right?
Yes.
That is not at all sensical. Okay, that doesn't make any bit of sense. How can you make children from blood? Unless you have a lab where you take the lab and you take this genetic information and then like you make these clones and these mutations from it.
I could see that. That would make more sense in a modern way.
And then there's this other thing. I was reading about Hera a lot. And, Hera tried to overthrow Zeus. But then there's this rule between Zeus, Hera, Demeter, Hades, and Poseidon, that none of them are allowed to do violence towards one another.
Really?
It's just a rule. But it never says in Greek mythology where this rule comes from. And it makes very little sense. And then there's this ancient primordials that no one ever talks about. What happens if these primordials that are talking about, that is where the spaceship came from? So there's a spaceship that, you know, it's flown out from this alien world far, far away. They send this group through the mutiny on the ship. The new people take over the ship. They communicate back to the home planet and say, hey, we overthrew the group. You work with us now, or you won't get the job that you want accomplished from us. Yeah, because the spaceship was sent with a mission.
Sure.
So now the Zeus and whatnot of this new spaceship have bargaining power over the home world they came from. But what power does this other world have over them?
I don't know.
So Zeus is afraid to return to the cave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he returns to the cave, the god of the night can utterly defeat him. So to me, that says Zeus is afraid of landing. Zeus cannot go home and dock his spaceship back home. Because as soon as he does that, the gig's up.
Yeah, I suppose.
And it's just like lots of other little things. Like Hephaestus tried to woo, I think it was Athena.
Right. But why don't you hold that for the next half? We're running way over for the first half here. And let's take a quick break and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And we're back from the break. So you may continue now, Conrad.
So as I was saying, there's Zeus, and he's the leader of the spaceship known as Mount Olympus. Mm-hmm. But there's there's one other place, at least, Hades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Hades, it's below the world, supposedly. You descend down into Hades. And then there's also another place where you can go down into the world, which is Tartarus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposedly deeper than Hades.
I thought there were one and the same, to be honest.
I'd call it like the basement to your basement. So to me, what that sounds like is there's an underground base that they've built. And Hades is like one of the three big ones, the Poseidon, Zeus, and Hades. Zeus is in control of the spaceship that's orbiting, right? Then you've got Hades. He's in control of the underground underworld bunker place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Poseidon. I can't quite figure out in my theory how he fits into it, but like all the bad people go to Hades, right?
Yes.
Hades is down there mining. And if you're bad, you get sent to the mines. You get sent to Hades and no one ever sees you again. He's got this lab underground. I'm telling you, it's there. You're mm-hmm. shipped down into the earth in your mining. I don't know if it's a separate place or if there's like a separate lab. Maybe you get experimented on down there. I don't know. I know that there's a ton of monsters in Greek mythology, and there's a ton of monsters and aliens where, like, you know, there's hybrids and all of that sort of thing. I mean, it's kind of coincidental that there's like aliens that have hybrids, and then there's gods who have monsters, but it doesn't say where the monsters come from. It just says, you know, like so-and-so created this monster, but it doesn't say how, but it'll be things like 500 headed giant. And you're like, huh, that's weird. It's like somebody took a bunch of heads and stuck them all on one body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sounds like a weird alien experiment to me.
So you think all these gods are aliens?
Perhaps. I don't think they're like the original aliens. I think it's more like a runaway ship that got hijacked or something. I'm thinking it's like a ship that, you know, somebody decided to hijack it, steal it, go to a planet, be rulers over that planet, have lots of fun. So it's kind of like they've gone rogue. But then the rogue ship has a mutiny because there's no honor among thieves. And now you've got these five gods who have this non-aggression pact that they cannot break. And I'm thinking that the threat is that if they break this pact and like they have like something that they have to give to these to their home world, or they're on a mission that they still have to complete certain things. And if they have another mutiny and that sort of thing, then the home world's going to go, okay, we've got to step in and recover our assets. So I think that they, in a sense, have this fear hanging over their heads. Somehow, some way that and I can't decide, because like beforehand, my theory before, you know, we were discussing it was that Zeus was afraid, like before we started the podcast, but now my theory's changing a little bit with more information that's come in.
Uh-huh.
Was that the prophecy that Zeus had was Metis, the woman, the goddess who gave Zeus the potion to make Cronos vomit up his siblings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what she's the mother of Athena. Zeus and her had Athena, the one that popped out of Zeus's head. And it says that if Zeus had a son, it's prophesied that Zeus would have a daughter and a son. And a son would be more powerful than Zeus, who would eventually overthrow Zeus.
Right.
So my original theory was Metis was a Titan. She was one of the original officers on the ship. And she turned on Cronos and, you know, was one of the people who swung the tide of the mutiny in favor of Zeus. So maybe it's not like a full-blown mutiny. Maybe there was like a mutiny where this Kronos guy was going off the rails, and then there was one of the loyal officers who recruited Zeus and a few others to overthrow Kronos and take back over the ship. Maybe, I don't know. That was my original theory, and the thing that's put down is if you act up, Metis toppled Kronos, Metis can topple you again. The first person that we're sending to watch over you is Athena, because like Athena, if you look at Greek mythology, is one of the most powerful goddesses, probably the most powerful goddess. Maybe not more powerful than Zeus, but is like extremely powerful. So is like, okay, we got Athena to watch over you. We got maybe Athena came and replaced Metis. And that if anything goes wrong, Zeus, we're sending another fella and he's going to overthrow you. And he's going to, you know, he's going to take over. So I think that was my original theory, is that they were hanging over this prophecy that they're giving to people, being like, okay, Zeus, and not only are we going to threaten to take over your place if you mess up, but we're going to tell your underlings on this world that you've enslaved, we're going to set up the narrative for you getting overthrown. You know?
So what's your theory now?
I don't know, because it seems to me that Zeus is afraid to dock, to go home. The whole thing with the Titan, the primordial goddess of night. So I don't really know exactly which way to go. I like both theories. I can't quite blend them together both yet. I'm sure if I spent a little more time, I could get them to both work together. I don't know. But I'm seeing it as, you know, with most of the things when you're talking about, you know, the aliens coming and ruling over people as gods and that sort of thing, they have more control than the Olympians do. So that's what lends me to believe that the Olympians were just a small little bitty base in Greece. They weren't this worldwide god. Because if you think of like the ancient stories of deities, like even if you just look at the god of the Old Testament, right? His most powerful weapon was a meteoroid strike. Right?
Was it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like it talks a lot in the Old Testament about brimstone from heaven being thrown down, right?
Well, I don't know. I know that's how the earth is going to perish.
Be destroyed. Yeah. It's going to be destroyed in brimfire and hellfire and brimstone. And that's like a worldwide disaster. And like the thing is like, we can flood your entire civilization. Like the God of the Old Testament dwarfs Zeus and his entire group, like hand over hand, fist over hand, I think is the saying. It's no comparison. So if you look at Zeus and like how small of like a local power that he has.
So you saying the Christian God is the one that overthrows Zeus?
No. I'm saying like that's the original, maybe the original aliens. Like you've got all these different religions, right?
Sure.
And they're all more powerful than Zeus. When you look at like the scale of gods across all religions, Zeus is pretty powerful. His top weapon is a lightning bolt. Compare that to a meteoroid. Meteorite wins.
Sure. Complete destruction always wins.
Well,
I suppose the Greek gods did get overthrown in a way, because if you look at the Roman war, right, they kind of replaced all the Greek statues and renamed them with Christian god names and saints and all that. And in a way, they did kind of get overthrown.
But here's another thing that I did not get. This is the perfect little touch that makes the Greek gods different than all the other ones in a different way. If you look at Prometheus that you were talking about, right?
Sure.
He brought fire to the world, right? Now, that is kind of a weak thing to be given to folks, but I don't think that's actually what he gave, is fire. I think he gave something else that allowed the, I don't know, technology to go forward. Because if you look at Greece, it's kind of like the birthplace of knowledge, you know?
Yeah, they had all kinds of inventions that... half of them were destroyed and never, like, further known about.
And then after Greece, it wasn't the same anymore. Technology, like, exploded until you have, like, the Romans who, like, compounded on that. And then after that, you have, like, the birth of modern society.
Where does Atlantis fit in all this? Because weren't they the most advanced city back in ancient times?
Yeah. The magical city that just flew away. I mean, drowned, went under the ocean, flew away.
I was going to say, are you saying it's a spaceship?
Perhaps. Either that, or maybe it had something to do with Poseidon. I don't know. I can't quite figure out how Poseidon fits into this whole thing.
Well, you know what? I was thinking back, and there is a story of something that relates... It's kind of the exact same story of the whole Poseidon giving fire to mankind in Christian mythology. So in Christian mythology, one of the fallen angels actually gave fire to man. Isn't that interesting? Like, they have their own version of that. Huh. So it makes me wonder, all these Greek gods and the Titans, could they have been fallen angels?
Perhaps. Like, it's kind of hard to put together, but then I guess it could be...
Because if you look at Christian mythology, technically it's way older than Greek mythology. Way older.
Right. And if you by my theory, what's going on is this is like the same group, but... a smaller rogue portion.
Right.
That these people were sent out on an ordinary mission as part of the overall larger mission, and then they went rogue and did their own thing. Mm-hmm. That implies that there was a group, this organization there that was there before them and after them.
Right. It kind of matches up. Because if you think of primordials, the older gods, right, the first gods in Christian mythology, that would just be God, right? Because he created everything.
And here's the thing. That's the one that's never talked about in Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. I have studied Greek mythology.
Interesting, yeah. I think we might be onto something here, Conrad.
And you know the Peter Jackson books about Percy Jackson?
I know what you're talking about. I just never seen them or read them.
I read the whole books. The primordials are never mentioned. Like, they are the part of Greek mythology that's never talked about.
Really? Do you think they're trying to cover up the fact that they've kind of renamed these other beings to be the gods?
I don't know. But what I don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of odd. It is kind of odd. Because they don't ever talk about the older gods that came before them, the first god. It's always just Zeus and him overthrowing his father. And I mean, that's about as far back as even like modern media has gone when they've made movies about Greek gods and Zeus and all that. It doesn't really go back.
I don't necessarily think that it's like a, conspiracy that the...
It's a
the
cover up. Media it's covering. A cover up, Conrad. Come on.
I don't think that's what's going on. What I think's going on is this rogue group doesn't like to talk about the fact that they've got bosses. And so they didn't talk about it. Well, that's understandable. So it's not tied. Sure. So it just was never a part of Greek mythology. Is they didn't like talking about their bosses. So their bosses were never included in their mythology. So when people talk about them, their bosses never show up.
So you think they... I don't know. It's obvious. It's obvious that they did not mention it because of power. Like, they want to be known as the powerful ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like, oh, there was no other gods before me. I am Zeus. I mean, I had a father, but I overthrew him, and I am the most powerful god. I am Zeus.
The other thing that really strikes me as weird is there's this Prometheus guy, and he gets in lots of trouble. He gave them something, and I believe whatever that something is, with like the birthplace of modern, like he gave them like a little nudge of technological advancement. Like, I don't know, he got them on the, hey guys, this is how you advance technology. Like, he gave them a process, a method, a something, but whatever it was, ticked off everybody. And they're like, no, dude, what are you doing? You're giving the peons power. Now they're all going to get modernized and get nukes, for crying out loud. Maybe, like, that is why he was chained to a rock and they're having a that doesn't make sense. Like, you gave them fire. How dare you do that? We're going to chain you to a rock and have your liver eaten out every single day. Like, that's an extreme overreaction. But what about this overreaction? It kind of is. You gave them the ability to figure out nukes in the future. Why would you do that? They're going to have nukes. We're going to have your liver eaten out every day. That makes a little more sense, don't you think?
Well, it depends, because when you look back in Greek mythology, in its own history, right?
Uh-huh.
The days were recorded being darker longer. So is it such a stretch that it was fire? Maybe not just fire, but let's think of it as, like you were saying, technology, but in light, right? Like they somehow found a way to have more light.
So you're talking like he brought like electricity and computers and that sort of thing and made like this technologically advanced thing and started bringing these ancient people in and then gave them a hunger.
Yes, I think so. I think that's exactly what it is.
And then they come in, they swoop him up, start having his liver torn out every day, and then they take away the technology, but they leave behind the knowledge and the hunger.
Right. Well, because the technology was swept away, wasn't it? But the know-how remained.
Yeah.
And if, you know, we're talking about, like, our history, you know, Greece was sacked to hell. It's just... Poor Greece, man.
And that explains, like, a lot of things. Like, you know, Archimedes, how he invented the mirror that lights things on fire from a distance. The sun ray beam, and there were, like, a few other things that he had. Mm-hmm. They were just insane. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I can remember I was listening to this radio show way back in another life when I worked overnight. And I heard this guy talking about how they've kind of found something that would resemble a computer. But this was like dated several hundreds of thousands of years ago, and it was this device that had a lot of gears and like kind of like a lot of movement to it, and it was he described it as, so if I think this is what I think it is, because he took all the gears, he kind of disassembled it, and he took a bunch of 3D mocked photos of each thing and kind of like reassembled it on the computer, and he kind of concluded that this device would have projected some kind of image out. And that's why he called it, like, this was the world's first computer. And it had some ties to Atlantis, but he wasn't completely sure. He couldn't really carbon date it. And I was thinking, well, that kind of makes sense. Because Greece was known to have this kind of this futuristic technology that wasn't really talked about a lot. And some of it was for Atlantis, too. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but there's even this theory that Atlantis was actually not too far away from Greece. Like it was fairly damn close. Like, you could just walk to it.
But wasn't it an island city? Wouldn't you have to, like, row to it or something?
No, it was above the water at that point.
Okay. I always thought there was an island city but I guess that's just mythology over... It's always appear, you know, the Lost City is now shown as an island.
Well, yeah, they thought of Atlantis as this, like, this island that was accessible. You didn't have... Well, I guess you kind of did have to take a boat to it, but it wasn't, like, a hidden city. It wasn't a city underwater or anything like that. You can easily get to it. And a lot of people believe there's this huge theory that it was actually right by Greece. I think I only remember that because I was reading about Greece fire. Greek fire? Not Greece fire. Obviously, there's Greece fire. No, but but a Greek fire, you know, the ancient invention of Greek fire that apparently never goes out.
Yeah, it's kind of like phosphorus or something, white phosphorus. Yeah. So, funny thing about Greece fire, did you know you can actually put them out with water?
I would assume so.
Yeah, but, because... you know, they always say don't do it. When you have a grease fire on the stove, they say don't do it because it'll just spread the fire.
Sure.
Make the fire worse. I mean, it's mostly true that if you do try to put it out, you will make the fire bigger, but under certain circumstances, you can put grease fires out with water. Anyway.
I would assume that's true because, you know, we were told to press this lever at our former job if there was ever a fire.
Yeah, but that was more of a chemical suppressant than it was water.
Well, it was over our donut fryer.
Yeah, but it was a chemical suppressant, not just a water thing. It had a lot more. It was more like
chemicals
a fire
in it. I mean, I had no idea. I used the thing once. I used the thing once to make chips. So.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you used the fire suppressor once. Because, yeah, the fire suppressor was used at one time in the bakery. There was a certain fellow.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah. And there was chemicals all throughout the building and shut the building down for shut down the department for a month.
Yeah, he caused quite a lot of money, too.
Yeah. Anyway. you can put a grease fire out with water. You just have to use
interesting
like a lot more water than there is grease. And what you'll do is you'll dilute the temperature, the heat of the oil down to the point where the it will make the fire go out by lack of heat.
But I see.
The thing is, you have to have a container that's big enough to hold both the water and the oil.
Okay.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, Greek gods, right.
Well, I know that Greek fire was supposedly, like I said, you can never take it out, but like they would ignite it, right? They would start the Greek fire on a torch, like this little torch that they would carry around, and they would completely submerge it underwater, and it would still be flaming. Like this thing could not be taken out. And I was like, oh, that's
so they must have been mixing an oxidizer with some sort of another chemical that burns extremely hot. So,
yeah, I don't know. I'm not Dr. Stone over here, but I just know it was pretty cool, and it probably got leaked over in California. It's always on fire.
Well, you know those flammable things that it shows fire, but it says oxidizer. It doesn't say flammable.
No.
Like the shipping labels.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's generally on like Clorox pool supplies.
Right.
I don't know exactly what chemical it is in there, but when that thing burns, it releases more oxygen than it takes to burn. So as it burns, it releases more oxygen than it's using in the combustion. Which obviously is extremely dangerous when you're trying to put out a fire because it's just pumping more oxygen into the place. So if you put that together with something that burns very hot, like magnesium, then if you put it underwater, the magnesium is burning hot enough that the cold of the water can't take away the heat and bring it below the ignition threshold. And the oxidizer is keeping it from running out of air. So that's how things can burn underwater.
You're a pyro guy, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah, I never got into playing with fire myself.
If I was to ever get into chemistry, which I plan on doing someday, the only reason is so I can make bigger and brighter and hotter.
I'm sure you can look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I have. The chemistry set is $100+, the one that I'm looking at.
Oh my God.
So. But it comes with all the vials and tubes.
Okay, everybody. If you want Conrad to have this experiment, support the show. All proceeds go to burning down his house.
And then probably just melt my fingers or something. So one thing that, like I was mentioning earlier, that I just wanted to touch on again with like Uranus getting chopped into little pieces. and like his blood being used in labs and creating other spawns. That's
the way I always figured, you know, the story about his blood spilling into the river and this is where we got Athena. I always thought of it as, you know, it could be possible because what if these gods just have like magical properties to their blood, right? And it just happens to mix just the right way to where, you know, a god or a demigod could be born. Completely possible. We don't know all the properties that these gods have within them.
True, but it's
but I like your alien theory.
Not too much. It's not just how the magical blood works and all of that. It's that it's not always just blood that children are made from.
Yeah, but these are gods we're talking about.
Right. But other god children. For instance, I forget which one it was. Hephaestus, the god of the anvil, wanted to used, I think it was just skin. Like what he did is he put, it says snot, but I don't know exactly.
So he put some boogies down.
He took skin, like a not skin, but like dead cells, like residual leftover matter from this one goddess that he was infatuated with and mixed it together with his boogers. I don't actually know if it was boogers. And from that, he created a child from this woman that he was infatuated with.
Was this child a bit slimy?
Anyway, but there's other ones as well, like with Hera. Mm-hmm. There's one story that one of her kids, she is the only parent of, because she didn't have a male.
That's right. She had a virgin birth. I forgot about that.
And it's just several different instances. And I can't name them all off the top of my head. I should have actually written down a few more. But there's multiple of these stories where these Greek gods and whatnot, they take and they make beings not in the way which is normal. And to me, that screams lab testing, lab cloning,
sure.
You know. So it's just that one little thing. So next time you're reading Greek mythology and you run across that, you'll think of this. And you have me to thank.
Yeah, interesting turn of events for the topic today. Well, I suppose we're getting near the end of the episode today. So, was there any last words you would like to say about the topic today?
It's just every time I read about the Greek gods and whatnot, it's just like the weirdest. Like, there's this one story where Zeus turns this woman that he loves into a cow, and then he turns himself into a cow, and then has a kid with her. It's just...
That's the best kind of loving.
Anyway, it just strikes me as odd every time that I'm reading Greek mythology, just
how bizarre it could be?
Yeah, which kind of, in my mind, leads rise to the, well, it's because it's metaphoric for something else when it's, you know, Zeus. I can't come up with a lab experiment reason for why.
Maybe
Zeus
this is
turning things into cows. I don't know.
Maybe this is where we get chimeras.
That's where Bigfoot, that's how Bigfoot was born.
Zeus was like, you know what? I think we need a big-ass hairy thing crawling around Earth. Zap! There's one there. Put one over in what will be Texas. Zap!
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that's about all I got.
All right. Good topic today. Well, we do have a listener request, so the next episode is going to be all about that, and you'll find out what it is when it's released. I don't really want to give it out right now, but it kind of fits this topic, sort of.
Yeah.
And then the one after that will definitely fit this topic.
I'd say that the listener requested one ties a little more into a different
mythology.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the podcast, I've already mentioned it to you, Connor, but I want to tell all the listeners, we have a new podcast host and we are now on Anchor. So if you go over to anchor.fm/bizarre_conspiracies, I think that's how it is. Or just search for Bizarre Conspiracies on Anchor. You will find our page. Just set it up last night. So the transfer of the RSS feed should be seamless. Like, you should not notice a difference. It'll still be out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, everything. So, fun. We might have some listener messages. That'll be interesting.
Because as you were telling me, they can go by Anchor and leave us messages.
Yeah, so if you want to leave us a voice message, just go to Anchor. And on the very front of the page, there's going to be a message button. Just click that, record your message, and I will instantly get it. How cool is that?
And do indicate whether or not you feel comfortable with us sharing it on the show.
Yes. And if you have any suggestions, you can leave it on a comment wherever you listen to our podcast, or you can email us at bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. That's one word, bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. And that'll be it for us today. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you in the next episode.